Our reading today is from Paul's letter to the people of Philippi, from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and chapter 4, verse 23. If then there is any comfort in Christ, any consolation from love, any partnership in the Spirit, any tender affection and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him even more highly and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name given to Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we come before you humbly, seeking to learn, to grow, and to act with your will in mind. May the words of our hearts and the meditations of all of our, the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did you know that Philippians chapter 2 is one of my favorite Bible passages? Must be a grace thing, right? It's true. I preached my very first sermon on the first five verses of this passage when I was a youth pastor in Beloit, Wisconsin. It was the spring of 1998, and I was going to seminary in the fall. My pastor asked if I would like to preach one Sunday when he was on vacation. I was pretty nervous and excited, but I said yes. And when I timed myself on the sermon, it was 12 minutes, and when I did it for everyone in the congregation, my friend said it was 8. I remember choosing this passage because there was a congregational meeting that day following worship. And truth be told, the congregation was not the nicest to each other during these meetings. Has anybody ever been there? Oh, yeah. Do you know? You know what I mean, right? They'd speak harshly to one another and argue over the smallest little details because they had to be right. They were often unkind and disrespectful to one another. And you know, I didn't understand it. They were all lovely people. I knew them well. I'd been at that church for 10 years. They were kind, polite, Christian people. How could they behave this way to one another in a meeting? And so this passage came to mind. I don't know if it was the lectionary for the day and it just was another time of God's grace, or if I knew this passage beforehand and chose it. I urged my friends during the sermon to live out the idea of having the same mind, looking to each other's interests, and to be humble. I used a great quote from Will Rogers about standing in someone else's shoes to look at what they were looking at. Not just to feel their shoes, but to look where they're looking. And for the first hour of the meeting, there was respect and kindness and peace. Oh, it was so beautiful. But you know, old habits die hard. And after that first hour, Paul's words from Philippians were forgotten, and I was really sad. Now, today we're not in the same situation, but we have the same passage. And we are looking at Paul's words through the lens of grace. Pastor Angie chose these passages from Philippians, and she chose the hymns, and she titled the sermon. Yay! All I had to do was a little bit of research and then write. But I have loved looking at this passage through a new lens. We all know the golden rule, right? And let's say it together. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. Don't think of yourself as better, but as just as good, just as gifted, with just as much right to joy and abundant life as you. Equal, right? Don't think less of anyone you meet, but treat them as you want them to treat you. Now, it's not always easy, but it's respectful and fair. And sometimes we get it, and other times we struggle with it. But we try to do it, right? That golden rule? Everybody have that in their mind from when they were a kid in Sunday school? Now, what Paul says in Philippians is asking us to do much more. Much, much more. Do not think of others as equal to yourselves, but as better than. Wow. Their interests matter more than your own. Have the same mind as everyone. And this, I love this part of the passage, would make Paul's joy complete. If there's any confidence in faith, do this, and my joy will be complete. Imagine having joy that was complete. I believe that the church in Philippi was very near and dear to Paul's heart. You see, it was the first church that he established in Europe. And the letter that we read today is most probably a compilation of several letters, because he wrote several, if not more, to this church. They had a special relationship, he and the Philippians. And the section we read today is likely from a letter Paul wrote to them from prison. And yet, what does he write of? Joy, comfort, love, and partnership with the Holy Spirit. Paul is humble and thinking of the Philippians instead of his own dire situation. Now, how is this possible? Grace, by God's grace. That's how. By grace, Paul is given the humility to think of others and what is best for them while he suffers in prison. Paul shares grace with the words he writes, giving the church in Philippi the tools that they need to share grace with one another. And of course, you know, Paul spoke of grace and love and Jesus to the guards that were guarding him in the prison. And it made headway into the Christian faith. After Paul writes the first five verses of this chapter, he inserts something that they all know. And I don't know if you know this yet, but verses 7 through 11, or 6, I think, through 11, are written in poetic style rather than a paragraph. And it's because it's a hymn of the early church. It's a hymn they sang in worship about who Jesus was and how he sacrificed. You write song lyrics, right, in verse rather than like a poem? Because that's what they are. They're poems. And though we don't know what tune with which they sang these words, we can feel the lyrical rise and fall of those words, reminding us that Jesus did what Paul is asking us to do. Think of others as better than ourselves. And for that very reason, Jesus is exalted by God, and he is the one that we follow. Wow. I guess I do like this passage. How is this possible? By grace alone. When we look to the interests of others as Jesus did, we are demonstrating grace. We are sharing by example. We are acknowledging that we are God's children, created in God's image, beautiful and beloved, and so is everyone else. I was on a plane to Florida once to visit my cousin, and I was reading the latest biography of Saint Francis. It was called Reluctant Saint. To me, Saint Francis is a spiritual giant, and I love the way that he shared his faith with such strength and intelligence and practicality and humility and grace. To me, Francis is a spiritual example to follow. So I was reading, and I could tell that the person next to me was busy and didn't want to talk. You know, you can tell if somebody wants to talk or if they don't. And he was busy writing notes on a very small pad of paper. I thought, how can he write on something that small? And every once in a while, he'd look up and pause and think. Now, when I was partway through my book, my neighbor spoke to me. He asked me about my book. He discovered that I was a congregational minister, and I discovered he was an Episcopal minister. We'd been wanting to read this book. He had been wanting to read this book, but he hadn't gotten to it yet. And so we shared a few of our thoughts and observations about Saint Francis. And my neighbor explained that he was flying to preach at a friend's ordination that very night, and he was writing his sermon on the plane. We shared some ideas about what he was going to say, even using quotes that I'd already marked in my St. Francis book. Yeah, he quoted from the book that he hadn't read yet. And then he posed a very interesting and thought-provoking question. Are all people ordinary, or are they extraordinary? Are all people ordinary? Are they extraordinary? Wow, what a thing to ponder. Are we ordinary because we're all equal in God's mind, or are we extraordinary because we are beloved and made in God's image? Are we ordinary because we are all imperfect and limited human beings, or are we extraordinary because God made us? And how do we define ordinary and extraordinary? And how does God view those things compared to how we view those things? It was a great conversation with no definite answer, as you can imagine. But it got me thinking, obviously, since I'm still thinking about it almost 20 years later. If we were to consider everyone we meet, or even the people we see on the news, either reporting or the subject of the report, or anyone at all as extraordinary, would it be easier to show grace and to share grace? Would it make it possible for us to look to the interests of others before our own, or consider others as better than ourselves? Or would it make it really more readily possible for us to be all of one mind and joined together in the mind of Christ? I like to think so. Have I gotten there myself? Of course not. But it is on my mind and in my heart to remember and to continue striving. And I like to imagine this world as a place of peace, kindness, love, and grace, because I think it's possible. With God, all things are possible. I'd like to share with you a photo of a sculpture I came across earlier this month. Every morning, I receive an email called Christian Art. And there's a Bible passage and an explanation of the scripture, and then comments about the artist and what the art is trying to convey. This was just a few weeks ago. We were already talking about grace here. So please take a moment in silence to let this work of art sink into your being. See what it brings up in your hearts and minds. To me, this sculpture looks like surrender, complete surrender to God. I was teaching a class on worship once, and when asked to define worship, one man replied that worship was surrender, the surrender of the self to God. This sculpture speaks that to me, and it made me think about grace as well, that perhaps by surrendering the self, we are opening ourselves to receive what God is offering to us, love and grace. If we let go of the self, emptying ourselves as Jesus did to God's will, are we not then open to all that God gives? And since God gives without limits and in abundance, if we let ourselves be filled with what God gives, will it not overflow from our lives into the lives of others? What Paul asks us in the second chapter of Philippians is tough. I know it is for me. There are so many basic human things to disagree about, to argue about, to not want to talk about. And yet with the grace we are given, what it takes to move in that direction, to think of others first, to notice people's needs and to help meet them, to look beyond our differences of opinion and see one another as beloved children of God created in God's image, and then offer grace. That doesn't mean we won't ever be hurt or angry, that we won't find it challenging to understand why some people make the choices they make. And yet, with grace, we are strengthened to see the bigger picture, the goodness and peace that offering grace can bring. For when we offer grace, whether we deem it deserved or not, God wants us to share it just as God has shared it with us. And by offering grace to others, we are transformed, grace by grace, into the mind of Christ. For when we think of all God's children as just that, children of God, and offer grace no matter the circumstances, we are becoming more and more the people we were created to be. We let go of the self, and God fills us with who he created us to be. And like Christ, it is the example we want to embrace and encourage in the way we live our lives. Just as God is beautiful, when we share grace, it is beautiful, and it brings glory to God. Amen.